Sunday the 26th of July, Hey Menachem Ov, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, Making the Kinnus Personal.
It's somewhat artificial in a way, somewhat difficult to be talking about in the Yonah Geoma when it's not in the Yonah Geoma, when it's a negative thing, when it's an unpleasant thing, an aspect of Tsar. But given that, in a way, it is the whole 3 weeks that is part of this Inyan, so perhaps it's not something that we should confine to just that one day. Question firstly is, what purpose is there in the Avelus of Tisha B'Av? By which I mean, we weren't there. We don't feel the void as it should be. We don't really know the picture. And it's difficult to recreate something that we've never been exposed to. So, there is a town in Poland called Tykotin. And it was a town where, for hundreds of years, Gedolei Olam were the Rabbonim, the Marshal, the Maram, the Megine Shlema. In the last years, the last Rav, who was killed together with his Kehila, was the brother-in-law, the Chazanish. But when they brought out the Sefer Zikorin for Tykotin, the person who had been the second last Rav, who subsequently made it to America, Avraham Kalmanovich, the Rashiv of Mir, he wrote the Hakdama to this Sefer Zikorin. And in it, he asks the question that Avelus is there's a psak, Shulchan Aruch, Gemara, that Avelus lasts up to Yud Beis Chodesh. Why are we being misabel many years later? There is a gvul to Avelus. And Yirmiyahu tells us in Eicha, Hayridi kanachal dima yoimam v'layla. Al titni fugaslach. There should not be a halt. There should never be an end to this Avelus. How does this square with the halacha of Avelus? So he says there is a difference between Avelus de Yochid and Avelus de Rabim. Avelus de Rabim, Ovel Tziburi Kloli, Mechuyovim Livkois Ulitzdar Beli Hefzik, Ad Asher Yirachem Hashem V'yorim Keren Mashichoi. So the reason there is Avelus is because when it comes to Avelus of the Klal, of the Tzibur, unless we are Misavel Kuroyim, the Sibo for the Avelus will not be removed. So we understand that we have to do something. But the question is, how do we use the day, how do we use Tisha B'Av in a way that we can move away from it and hopefully not have to repeat it. So Tisha B'Av has three parts. The night of Tisha B'Av is Kumi Reini Balayla, is the idea of Bochi Sifke Balayla. It is a time for understanding the pain of the tragedies. What happened? To know what happened. And that brings about demise, to understand how much Tsar, Klal Yisrael have gone through at the Churban and subsequent to the Churban, because it's all one Tetzah. To know the story, that's Laila. And it's also the time to ask the question. Eicha is a question. And it's a question where there isn't a neat one-line answer that deals with these questions, because ultimately, as we basically say at the end of every perek in Eicha, ultimately, it's emuna is the answer. So it's an uncomfortable question, because it's a question, it's not a halachic question. It's not a question where it's machlikas shach and taz, and you get clear answers to what you're supposed to do. It's a question that ultimately leaves us feeling uncomfortable, and that's part of Avelus, no different to Avelus of a Yochid. Why? That's Eicha. And in fact, the concept of Eicha being written in the Aleph Beis, it means we exhaust our vocabulary. And we do whatever we can, and that's our human limitations. It's the equivalent, the Hepach, but the equivalent in Ashrei. We are Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that we can, we exhaust our vocabulary. And we understand that there's a lot more to say, but we've done whatever we can. That's Tisha B'Av night. The morning of Tisha B'Av is to understand what brought the Tzara about and what we have lost. And that we do through Kinnus. We'll come back to this, because this is the main thing that I'd like to speak about. To understand what was the Goyrim and to understand what we are bereft of, what we have missing now that we are in Golus. And the afternoon is to build, to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in Golus. And therefore, we wear tefillin while we say Aneinu. We makir, it's yom tzayim tani seinu, but we're wearing tefillin, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu shofach chamosa el etzim v'avonim, rather than on us. The idea of understanding what caused it, Dayan Swift Zatzal writes, Legaba the Masois in Parashas Masay, that the Torah doesn't simply provide us a list of the 42 places, but rather in each case, the Torah tells us they traveled to, and Vayachnu, and then they traveled from. Because when an event takes place, we have to understand how it happened, where it came from, and what it led to. You can't isolate the event, because you have to understand the cause and the effect. And in the same way, in anything that happens, we can't just see the thing itself. We have to understand the personalities that were involved. We have to understand the reactions of people that were involved. We have to have a clarity, a knowledge. And he goes on to say, that's why, unusually, the Haftarah of the 3 weeks overwhelms, so to speak, any other Chiyuvim, even if it's Rosh Chodesh or Erev Rosh Chodesh Av. We always read the Haftarah of the Gimel de Purinusa, because this time of year is set aside to understand why things happened. And only by understanding the bigger picture, rather than the event that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why was it destroyed? What happened? Why did Chazal spend so much effort on explaining the lead-up? The Anvesunusa Shel Zchar Ben Akulus, all the stories about Titus, all the stories about those who attacked the Beis HaMikdash, Kamtza Bar Kamtza, all of these, each one in itself is not the reason that all the Tzoras took place, but they are all giving us an added clarity as to what causes Churban. And if the daytime, the time of Kinnus, is to understand what caused it, then it's not the time for emotion. It's the time for analysis. It is the time to resolve that we don't want to ever do this again. We don't want to go through Tisha B'Av again, so therefore we need to understand why it happened so that we can remove the Sibba for it. And we understand what it means, the Mishnah, the last Perek of Tainis, that tells us that Chamish Advarim Iris Aviseinu, 5 things happened on Shivas Batamuz, and another 5 happened on Tisha B'Av. One of the 5, alongside Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, is Nechrasha Ha'ir. The city, Tzion, was ploughed over. You have to understand how, in any way, is this the equivalent of the other Tzoras that had took place on Tisha B'Av? How, in any way, can you compare the Tzora of the fact that Tzion, which was a ruin, this is after Churban Bayis Sheni that it took place, after Churban Bayis Sheni, after everything was already destroyed, that they took the ruins and removed them. and they planted over. How is that comparable to the tsara of the Churban Bayis? How in any way, in terms of human life, in terms of mitzvahs, in terms of all that took place? So I had an idea a number of years ago that we know the famous Gemara at the end of Masechtas Makkos, where the Tanoim were walking near the Mokem HaMikdash, and Shu'alim Hilchu Boi, and they wept, and Rabbi Akiva laughed. But the idea is that while there is a place which shows openly where the Churban took place, then there's something to focus our minds, our hearts, our attention. But when you remove it and it's just grass, there's nothing there at all, then it's difficult to understand whatever was. And that deepens the Churban because it takes the Churban even further away from us. It's difficult at the best of times to capture what we have lost. But when you can't even see that there was something, there are many places in Eastern Europe where you go to, and it's not pshat that there's a destroyed shul. The communists came and they took most of the shuls that the Nazis in Mashram destroyed, and they just completely removed it and turned it into a car park or into a supermarket. So you can't even see that there ever were Yidden that lived there. That's a level of godless. You can come to a place and not even be aware that there was a Churban. So we have to understand cause and effect. We have to understand what took place to the extent that we can. Perhaps the most obvious place to start, therefore, is the Kina, B'tzeisim Mitzrayim and B'tzeisim Yerushalayim, where the contrast between where we should be and where we are is made very clear. And even though, once again, when it talks about Keteres and Korbonus, so we don't necessarily have a shaychus to this, but there are other areas where it's much clearer. Narech milchoma v'ashem shoma, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is with us. Kodesh Baruch Hu can be seen. As opposed to rochak mimenu v'hinei einenu. That in the eyes of Yidden around the world, and in the eyes of the Goyim, that we are sechi u'mois, that we are now something to be written about in terms which are unbelievable. We are the biggest danger to the world. If you look at the United Nations, we apparently are the greatest danger to the world's existence. There was a Talmud of mine was once in a taxi, and doesn't look Jewish, and the driver said to him, you know, had Hitler finished off the job, we wouldn't have all these problems in the Middle East. We're the biggest problem to the world being at peace. If we wouldn't be around, so then the place would be easier. For it to be so clear to the Goyim that Rochak mimenu v'hinei einenu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with us. The Mechitza shel Barzel. To have that, that's where we are when we're in Golis. If we want to know one of the biggest effects of not having a Beis HaMikdash, it's that when in this week's parasha it says, Ki chokhmaschem ubinastem le'enei ho'amim, and instead, we're nowhere near chokhmaschem ubinastem. Nig'olo moiro v'ruach hatuma. That's where we are seen by the world. We are an outcast. We are a nation that nobody wants to have anything to do with. And people don't mind writing this and saying this openly. It's not a problem anymore. Until recently they thought it, and nowadays they can write it. Nowadays it's a double poshut. Why? Because we aren't being the role model that we should be. We have a chiyuv sheyishem shemayim yisayev al yodcha. Look through the Gemara in the last parak of Yuma. It tells us what we should be doing. How we should be seen. It should be clear to, first of all, to other Yidden, and second of all, to the Goyim in the world, that these are a people who are an Am Hashem, in their Hanhaga. And if we live that way, then it will have the effect. Kodesh Baruch Hu will take care of the details. But if we carry out our duty, in Parshas Va'era, so Kodesh Baruch Hu says, how can I not tell Avraham Avinu what I'm about to do? He goes on to say, what will Avram teach to do? Mishpat. That will be obvious. That will be the chinuch that Avram Avinu gives his children. There's a famous hakdoma that Chassam Sofer writes in to Yeridea about the fact that Avram Avinu wasn't necessarily on the Madrega to be zeicha to a nevuah about Sodom at that moment in time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, for what he does, for the chinuch that he will teach of Lasei Tzedaka Mishpat, he deserves to have this nevuah. And this concept of Tzedaka Mishpat, we come across it again in Shmuel Beis, when we're describing David HaMelech, it says, "Vayhi David Eisem Mishpat Tzedaka L'chol Amoy." If you want to know what made David HaMelech the Melech, Tzedaka Mishpat. And as we know from the Haftarah that we read yesterday, Tzion B'Mishpat Tipodeh B'Shaveh B'Tzedaka. If we want to know how to get back to Tzion, it's B'Mishpat of Tzedaka. And therefore, when we ask for people to guide us, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Melech Oyeb Tzedaka Mishpat. That's what we're looking for. If you want it, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes in the world, it's Tzedaka Mishpat. That we live a life, She'eshem Shemayim V'Sa'ayv Al Yodcha. If that happens, then fine. Then we have a taina. But if that isn't happening, then we understand why it's Nig'ola Moira V'Ra Chatuma. The kinnas that we say on Tisha B'Av always contain one, I mean, Tisha B'Av it obviously contains it, but Rashi writes in Divrei Yomim that there is one kinnah, whenever kinnas are said, there's one kinnah that always has to be said, and that is Vayakenin Yirmiyo Al Yeshiyo. So in most places people assume that is the end of the previous kinnah, it's actually the beginning of the next kinnah. And Rashi says on Vayitnun Lachaik that Keshemizdamin Lahem Shum Tsar Bechia, they have to include this Bechia of Vayakenin Yirmiyo Al Yeshiyo. What happened? Yeshiyo was the Melech, and he misinterpreted the Posuk his way, that Mitzrayim would never be able to come through Eretz Yisrael even, and he prevented them from doing so, and he was wrong, and the Navi told him he was wrong, and he carried on doing it his way, and eventually he was killed on the battlefield. And as he died, he says, Tzadik hu Hashem ki fiu morisi. And one whole Perek of Eicha is written as a to remind us of this event. What is this kina? So I heard one year from Rabbi Lefi explain, this is the concept of being makiras makoimai. Everybody has to understand where they are. We have to understand who is above us and who is beneath us. We have to have the achrayas for those beneath us to guide them, to teach them. And we have to be makabel from those who are above us. We have to understand where we are. And that includes not only in things which are more obvious, in halacha, that we wouldn't just decide for ourselves, you know, we assume, we guess, this probably is what to do. Same is true in hashkafa, concept of das Torah. And therefore we have to ask ourselves at a time like this, where the world is standing on its head, where it's very difficult, we have to ask ourselves, are we in fact asking Rabbonim, Gedolim, what to do? Not necessarily why it's happening, and we don't necessarily know the answer, but are we asking what to do? And being Makaris Makomer is a two-way street. The Rabbonim have to understand their achrayus. Are they telling us what to do? Beyond, you know, save five to hear them, it'll be okay in the morning. Are they giving us guidance as to what we should be doing? Are they being Makaris Makomer? Or is it a case where they understand that we're not going to be Makabal anyway? That we're so far from being Makabal Morris, so there's no point in telling us because Mutav. Leave them a Shregigim. And if that's the case, if that's why the Gedolim are not saying anything, because clearly they're not, is it that we have to make it clear that we will be Makabal Morris? That we are prepared to be Makiris Makoimenu. That we're not going to decide that we understand the financial downturn lefi the editorial in the Daily Telegraph. But we understand that there's a chesaron, and it didn't come by accident, and it's not going to leave by accident. And we understand that they are the only ones who can tell us, so we go to them genuinely, rather than as lip service. Because being makaris makoma is a two-way street, but being makaris makoma is tzaddik hu Hashem kifu marisi. The situation wouldn't have come about if not for that. Beyond that, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in Parshas Pinchas, Parshas Baruch Pinchas, writes that it's very difficult to understand how Klal Yisrael could have been Oved Baal Pa'er. The method of worshipping Baal Pa'er, as we know, is a person eats and drinks and defecates in front of the Avodah Zarah. So even for some individual, we would find it difficult to understand. And there's a Maisa brought that a woman said, I prefer to remain a chayla rather than carry out what it needs in order to be Oved Baal Pa'er. Klal Yisrael, how could they do so? Beyond that, in this week's parasha, beginning of the parasha, we're told not to be over Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra. And the next pasuk says we should remember Baal Pa'er. We should remember that anybody who worships Baal Pa'er, he shmidei Hashem Elokecha. What is the possible connection between Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra and being Ovid Baal Pa'er? Well, how do the two have any shrachos whatsoever? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains that Baal Pa'er is the hispatlus of any authority. It's the idea that nothing controls me, that nothing has an input over what I do and into what I am and what I become. I am independent. Nothing has a hold over me. And hence the derech of the Avodah of the Avodah Zarah is being mevatel everything else. The reason for that is the drive for independence. The problem is that the drive for independence lies at the heart of what we were created for. The idea that we have bechira means that we are the ones who make up our minds whether we should be oivdei Hashem or chas v'shalom faket, whether we should do that which is correct or not. In fact, that was the argument with which Moshe Rabbeinu convinced the Malachim to give Torah to Klal Yisrael, the Gemara in Shabbos. Klum Yetzahara Yeshlechem. You don't have a Yetzahara, so what is the point of giving you Torah? It's only when a person has the ability to deny, and they don't, in that independence, that person is an Ovid Hashem. So the drive for independence is what we were created with. It is the tachlis of what we are here for, to use our bechira. But that drive for independence clearly is a double-edged sword. It can go one way and it can go the other way. It can lead us towards Baal Pa'er, or we can use that independence but within the framework of Torah. Beyond the polar extremes of Baal Pa'er being an Oved Hashem, there are smaller versions of Baal Pa'er. Mini Baal Pa'er. From Baal Pa'er. From Baal Pa'er is when I'm not being mamashon Ovid Avodah Zarah b'fahesya, but when I'm taking the mezuzah, which has got two parshiyos in it, and I'm saying, it could really do with another one. Kodesh Baruch Hu had a good idea, but you can improve on the idea. The moment a person thinks that, that's Baal Pa'er. That's a person saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu came up with something, but I have a better way of doing it. Underlying it is the chet of Adam Arishin. I mean, that's what Adam Arishin did. Adam Arishin wasn't stupid. Adam Arishin wasn't a rush. Adam Arishin was exercising Bechira Latov. But it wasn't something that Kodesh Baruch Hu told him to do. And hence it brought about the whole of Bria being brought into Golos. It's the original Golos. It's the Ayekah. It's the Eicha Mekori. It's where it all started. Because Adam Arishin exercised independence in a way that was not quite correct, even though the Machshava might have been Latov. That is a Avodah Zarah. And The Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz explains, this is what we mean when we say, Ki Yisharim Darkei Hashem. The ways of Hashem are straight. Tzadikim Yelchu Bo. And we would have thought, Tzadikim Yelchu Bo, the Tzadikim walk on the ways of Hashem, and the Rishonim, they take some B road somewhere. No, the Rishonim also walk on that road. And they are Yikoshlu Bom, on that very same road. Because what they do is they take what there is, but they give their own spin to it. That's from Baal Po'er. For us to decide things in a way which we see. That's our das, k'neged HaKadosh Baruch Hu's das. Finally, in the Kinnas, there is a whole series towards the end of Tzion. Tzion, the Tzions don't necessarily seem to be a kinna as such. They don't seem to describe the events of Hurban. In fact, in many ways, the Tzion describes the beauty of Tzion and of Eretz Yisrael generally. So it's difficult to understand what exactly they are doing in the Kinnas. Tzion is a signpost. It's a direction. It's a directive. And the question is whether we are being directed when we think of Eretz Yisrael, when we are in Eretz Yisrael, towards Torah, towards Kedusha, towards the Shechina. Tzion is Michlal Yofi. It's the perfection of beauty. Beauty, harmony, means when you have two things which are exact opposites, but you put them together in such a way that it creates a greater whole, that it creates Shalom, right? Yerushalayim is created out of Yira and Shalom. That it puts together different elements, but rather than each one fighting the other element, they create a greater whole, L'shem Shemayim. And if that is the case, then we are using Tzion appropriately. But if it is a case that nobody is prepared to yield to anybody else, that each type will only see theirs as being correct, then we are creating in the place where there should be Shalom, we are creating the exact opposite. And Shalom is very interesting. Shalom is Gematria Esav. Right, 376. Because there are two types of Shalom. There's Shalom, which is Shalom Bayis, which is real, which is Shlemus, which is perfection. And there is the UN's version of Shalom, which is, do it my way, or we'll invade. That's not Shalom. Imagine a situation where there's a Shalom Bayis issue, and the councillors come in, they say, unless you do things our way, we'll beat you up. So the husband and wife carry out what the councillors tell them to do. That's not Shalom. That's Aesop's type of Shalom. That's a Shalom where there's a ceasefire. But real Shalom comes from Shlemus. Comes from the fact that I feel I'm lacking if there isn't Avo v'achvo v'shalom v'reus. I feel there's something lacking. And this works both b'nodem l'chaver and b'nodem l'mokad. That's Yira and Shalom. That's what Yerushalayim is. If we are not upset over what takes place, then there is, the Tzion is not fulfilling its role of being Michlal Yofi. Last week, two members, at least, of the Natura Karta decided to visit Hamas in Gaza. Were we indignant about it? Does it bother us? Or do we simply say, Shine, Meshugoyim? They're not Meshugoyim. They are people who are in the company of Reitzchim. If you want to say that, you know, when they went to Arafat, so maybe you could say that he was trying for peace. But these people have openly declared they're not interested. They want every Jew out of the way, because they are not interested in peace, and they're interested in taking it by force, if that's the only way. Said this quite openly, never been chayzer on their views. So when Yidden go and kiss these people, and never mind for the goyim in the world that it's a chilul Hashem, because real chilul Hashem is what happens to the Yidden, amongst the Yidden. It's mechalel shemayim b'fahesia. If we just say, say a couple of mishugoyim, they are publicly, embracing people who've got blood on their hands. People whose goal it is to kill Yidden. They haven't killed as many Yidden as Hitler, so we don't have to get upset about it. It has to be really bad until we get upset. They only killed 60 instead of 6 million, so it's fine. We should be up in arms about people like that, who are doing things which are, whether they're endangering Jewish life, I don't know. But for sure they're being machzik, the hands of Reitzchim. And it's not just in Eretz Yisrael. In this country, there are people who go from that group and they speak on campus in Birmingham, in Leeds, and they talk about Yidden in ways which are Oyem V'Noira, and they talk about what should happen in Eretz Yisrael in ways which are Oyem V'Noira. Do we get upset about it? Do we feel that Tzion is Michlal Yofi or not? One last thing, perhaps, to put things together. We often discuss the idea and use the term Nechomas Tzion. Person sitting Shiva, Rachman Litzlan, we say, Amoki Menachem Eskim Mesech Sharaveli Tzion Virushalayim. And the assumption is that we are looking, the Nechom of Tzion, we're looking for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, of the Beis Hamikdash. And there is a statement in the Gemara, Kolam Yisalba Lel Yerushalayim Zoyche V'Roya V'Binyona, which, as we know, is written in the present tense, Zoyche V'Roya, not Yiske V'Yira, but now, which clearly doesn't seem to be the case. It doesn't seem to be. I mean, over the past 2,000 years, there for sure have been people who've been misabal al Yerushalayim properly. And they weren't zeicha to see binyana. So what does it mean? So we need to understand that when a person, Rahman al-Islam, is sitting shiva, what is it the nechama we're giving them? We're trying to comfort them. We're trying to allow them to get over their loss. But imagine if a person is sitting shiva, and somebody walks in and says, I've come to comfort the Avelim. How? I brought back to life the people that died. That's not a Nechoma. There's no longer a reason for Avelus. It's not a Nechoma. Nechoma means, the famous Rashi, the end of Parashat Bereishis, means a change of perspective. I see things differently, but I still have the Tsar, I still have that which is missing. So why do we talk about Nechomas Tzion? What we are looking for is that the sibba of the avedah should be completely removed. It's not that you're giving me comfort, it's that I'm happy again. So why do we say nechomas tzion? So one is mataritz the other. What we are looking to achieve is a nechoma, a comfort before the real Yerushalayim and the real Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt. While during our lifetime, Zeicha V'Roya, we are looking for it now. In the same way as when a person goes to be Menachem Avel, what they are trying to do is give the person the koyach to continue and say to them that you now have the koyach to carry on your own, where until now there were two of you. It took two of you to do X till now, and now Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give you the koyach to carry on. The Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't stump inflict tsar. Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying that you can continue. You can carry on. There's an Aver missing. Nevertheless, you can carry on. And of course, that means the person isn't brought back to life. And of course, it means there is sorrow, real pain. But it means that there is a way of finding that which used to be, even though circumstances have changed. There is a way to discover kochas, to carry on, to find that which was, even though the matzav has changed. That's what we are looking for in the Nechomas Tzion now. We are looking to understand that which Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash represented, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we had, we can find now. It's a much more painful route. And it's a much more difficult thing to do. And it requires an enormous amount of emunah. But if a person creates that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tzara, through churban, then they are zeiche v'roya, now, here and now. They don't have Yerushalayim rebuilt. That wouldn't be a nechoma. What they have is the same nechoma as we give an ovel. They understand that they have the ability to carry on. This Gemara of Mishnah says at the end of Seder, Ein lanu leishan ela al avinu shebashamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still here, even though the bias has been destroyed. Normally when the bias is destroyed, the husband and wife are not together anymore. They don't live in a, they don't have a house. What we are being told is that even without the house, there is a way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Nechama. That's Nechama we'd give an Ovel Diyachid. If we are able to take that much more painful, much more difficult route, and connect to that which Yerushalayim meant, B'tzeisim mi Mitzrayim, all of those things that we got on the way to Geula, and during Geula, if we are able to take that route, then we have connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch tzar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring about the Geula. Kalam Yisabal El Yerushalayim, we already here and now are able to be Zeicha V'Reya. And as a result, the Sibba of Churban has been taken away, and we can look forward to the real rebuilding, the full rebuilding, the Tchias HaMeisim of Yerushalayim and of the Beis HaMikdash from here.